It's 9:01, and we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. So has everybody had a chance to review the minutes from the previous meeting to read over and look at any corrections or anything that needs to be made at this point? Okay. Has anybody seen any corrections that need to be made?
Have two quick corrections.
Okay.
Just section business, paragraph B, grant update. The last sentence, I think the word it is meant to be is, once the contract is complete. So if we can just make that little correction. Karen, do you see that?
I'm looking.
I see it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then just another little quick thing is just put a period after in paragraph C, first number under C, put a period after the last sentence.
Got it.
Okay.
Beautiful work.
Nicely done. Okay, so I just need an approval of the corrected minutes.
I move we approve the minutes as corrected.
Okay, can I get a second, please?
I second.
All in favor, can you show your hands so we can see them? Okay, that's been moved and seconded, and we've got our vote, and we're going to move on. All right, on to the house manager's report. Kathy?
All right. Give me just a minute to move this over and share my screen. And of course, I always have to try and figure out how to do that.
Yes, that's the case.
Well, I clicked on it. Aurora, I need to be able to share my screen. It's disabled.
Pull you down.
Hello, Aurora.
Can read what I have here. You know, if you can't share it, I can read along. I think, you know, with it.
Yeah.
Does everybody have a printout?
Yes, I do have a printout. So we could just follow along at this point.
All right. So January was pretty quiet. We had a lot of weather cancellations. We had three city events, three clubs, a paranormal investigation, which was our revenue generating event. And two tours, but inquiries have been the bomb. We have 45 inquiries in January, and they're still chugging right along. Seven by phone, 38 electronic, 10 from the City of Longmont website, 10 from Wedding Wire, 18 from the Knot. Since we had so many cancellations, we only had 51 guests with no catered events. We booked three new revenue generating events for January or for the year. And the total number at this point is 10. As I mentioned last month, we've replaced all of the CFL light bulbs in the house and most of the ones in the auto house. I still have a few places to check. Every time I think I got them all, I find another one. We have lots of light bulbs. Mm-hmm. And we're replacing those for safety reasons. Facilities is very leery of them and think they're starting fires. So we're trying to get rid of all of the safety issues related to the light bulbs. Okay. All of our candelabra lights
are- your screen. Sorry, excuse me. If you need to, Kathy, you should be able to share your screen.
All right, let me.
I'm here.
All right, did that work?
Yes.
Yes.
If I can't see the screen. All right, well, that's fine. You guys got really little and it's all right. So anyways, moving on, we still have incandescent light bulbs in all the candelabra lights for two reasons. One, because I can't find an LED that sheds the right proper kind of light. And because that's gonna be a very expensive venture to replace them all. But once I find something that I think works well, we will replace those as well. We have all the Christmas trees down and packed up, and we're slowly putting away the rest of the stuff, a couple things at a time. We should be completely done with it by the end of the month. Just kind of an awareness thing. We're in flux with custodial help. The Civic Center has been sending Maria to clean. She's been doing a great job. We polished the floors last week and we're getting to a little something extra every week. I just wanted to say kudos to Parks. They've been doing an amazing job of snow removal. We're usually second or third tier in terms of getting the snow removed, but they were there last week very early to clear the walks for an early meeting and came back later that day and did the driveway. So we're getting great service. February's pretty quiet. You can see it's all clubs. We did book yesterday a baby shower for the end of the month. We had a lot of club cancellations in January because of weather, and February is starting off to be very similar. The clubs just aren't willing to come out when the weather's bad.
Sure.
We're almost done with club renewals. I'm expecting to get the rest of the renewals and the dues by the end of the month. The grant's going to go before council on the 22nd of February again. They are going to sign the acknowledgement of award conditions, or we're going to propose to them that they sign the acknowledgement of award conditions and the property protection covenant. Once those are signed, they will create the contract for the project, and then that will also need to be signed once it's done, and that may take up to a month to be created. We rolled back the mask exemption for the clubs due to the increase in COVID cases. And Ben may be able to give us an update on that, but we're hoping to allow fully vaccinated clubs to stop wearing their masks again very soon under the Boulder County exemption. I had another wedding cancel. Again, the reason given was COVID. We booked the ghost paranormal investigation for January and a baby shower for March. And I have since booked another baby shower and another wedding. Finishing up the pricing, and I'm gonna review it with recreation management prior to publishing the new rates. Expect to get that done in the next 3 or 4 weeks. And both the work on both the history brochure and the room by room self-guided brochure are ongoing, although I think the history brochure is almost complete. And the second is coming along very nicely, thanks to Karen and Connie. And we're receiving lots of revenue inquiries for revenue generating events for both this year and next. So that's really good news because that's what drives our business. And I guess it doesn't do any good to share your screen if you don't change pages.
We all have them in front of us.
So expense actuals, we are already almost in the black, which is good news. That number for revenue is a little suspect because I don't know yet what the transfer from the general fund is going to be for salary. So once I get that number, I will adjust it accordingly. That usually is available to me sometime in February, early March. You can see the events, pretty quiet month in January. I do not know. Hang on just a sec. I'm trying to get to the right page in the. There we go. expenses. Again, a pretty quiet month. Light bulbs were fairly expensive, a couple hundred dollars. We did some cleaning supplies. We've done a little bit of staffing in our normal advertising, and we also renewed our food license with Boulder County. Any questions?
Does that food license, is that for the year then?
Yes, it is for 2022.
Sure.
And so I noticed that we don't have the Callahan House Fund report. Did that just erroneously get?
Oh, you mean the financial report?
It's the
Munis report. I did not do that this month because the general fund transfer hasn't happened. So it's glaringly in error. And the other thing I wanted to bring up was I think that perhaps we ought to start doing that quarterly instead of monthly.
Well, I think it's important to keep it as monthly because all reports are monthly. So being consistent and transparent, I think it's important to keep it as monthly. It does show what happens in a specific month so that we wouldn't have to question in a quarter, wait, what month did that happen?
The spreadsheet shows what's happening each month. The Munis is just the financial accounting system keeping up with what's already happening, and all of that information is in the spreadsheet.
Again, though, it is a one-page report. I think it's important that it remain consistent with the other reports, just monthly.
There, that's better. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Ladies, what do you think?
I can hear what Karen is saying as far as having a, it's a nice one page up and down or vertical summary and comparing numbers and things too, but there's not much change a lot of times. So it, to me, it doesn't matter to me whether it's quarterly or, I guess if you did it quarterly, Kathy, would you just make more columns as far as comparing the months then across the board or?
No, it would just be a quarterly total.
Okay.
If it were possible to do like what Connie.
It wouldn't fit on one page. Yeah, so that would be very hard to fit on one page. It would be very hard to read. Yeah. So
then putting it as a quarter.
If I did it quarterly, it would just be a quarterly total and then a year to date total. Mm-hmm. And then you would have all the detail of everything in the monthly reports.
Mm-hmm. I just think that it is its own separate report and it deserves to be a standalone monthly report as well.
I have to agree with Karen. The more transparent that we can be, the better off we're going to be. And even if the numbers aren't quite accurate, like you were saying this month, because the transfer hasn't occurred, we can state that within the minutes themselves. So anybody looking from the outside, public looking in and viewing, would know if there are any discrepancies, because it would be stated at that time. And again, the more transparent that we can be, that we're being diligent, having due diligence, and we're reviewing those numbers, the better off we're going to be. It is just a one-page report. And I understand, one more piece of paper, but
it's so it's not just a piece of paper. So
Okay. I don't mean to belittle running reports. I understand that it is, but if that is what we need to do to be transparent, what's everybody else's viewpoints?
I would like to know what the advantage is to doing it quarterly, Kathy.
It just would cut down the amount of work. You know, it's and honestly, especially in the first two quarters of the year, there's really not a lot of information.
Right.
This month there was almost none, which is why I elected not to do it.
Mm-hmm. But I think the potential change between one month and another is important enough to have a monthly report. Given it takes time to do, it's still worthy of having a monthly report.
What's everybody else's thoughts?
I just had wondered, what does the city require, Kathy, of you as far as doing that kind of report? Is that required of all the committees or all the boards?
No, honestly, all the reports that we do, mostly were of my conception. Mm-hmm. It used to be there was just a manager's report and just the one-page Munis report, and that was it. Yeah. So most of the reports that you get are things that I conceived of and thought were important. Mm-hmm. And there is no requirement per se. Okay. We're required to have an agenda and we're required to have minutes of the meeting.
Okay.
But the Callahan House Fund is separate in its own
right
way.
So are a lot of the other funds.
It's special, and I think it warrants having a monthly report.
My little bit of input to that would be allow Kathy and Sue and I to look into what has been standard, what is standard within the boards, and we can talk about this again next month.
Okay.
Because the numbers, the actuals are the numbers. That's, you're getting the real numbers. And
right.
I can tell you from personal experience that the Munis numbers are much better in bulk over time. They do not reflect what is currently happening very often within recreation. They don't get updated on a regular basis like they should. We hope that's changing, honestly, but there's some things happening with finance. So allow us to look into this and we can talk about it again next month, if that sounds okay to everybody.
Sure.
Yeah. The spreadsheet, just an FYI, the spreadsheet is much more up to date. What Ben's alluding to is that the rec track, any money that comes in through rec track, which means any money that comes in through credit cards or through a check that gets registered in rec track or entered in rec track, the amount of time it takes to flow to Munis is lengthy.
Okay. Actually, that's not the amount of time it takes us to flow it to Munis is like that. The amount of time that it takes in another portion of our is quite lengthy. So because Rec Track are real numbers, real up to date, 100% to the moment numbers. One thing reflects another.
Yeah, the delay is in the processing and getting it into Munis and in the right buckets.
So allow us to look at that and we'll discuss it again.
Okay. One last little piece I would just note. Which is the reason I'm driving this, is that the fund, the Callahan House Fund, is different from any other board, any other city appointed board. The Callahan House Fund is its own separate fund for the Callahan House. And so showing a status of that fund and a balance of that fund monthly, I believe, is important. So that, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. So let's be sure that we're tabling this and then putting it on for next.
I've got it written down for next month.
Okay, is there anything else that we need to discuss at the House Manager's Report? Okay. All right, thank you, Kathy. Moving on to old business. Status of the SHF grant.
State Historical Fund.
Yes. Well, I was just using the abbreviation, sorry.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure everybody would know what that was. And I'm the one that put the abbreviation in there, so.
Okay.
As I mentioned in the manager's report, the work to take it back to council is done. It's on the agenda for February 22nd, or it's been submitted for February 22nd. Ben, do you know if it's been confirmed?
I believe so, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, and once that's done, all of that paperwork goes back to the state historical fund managers and they draft the contract.
Great.
Oh, Kathy, if you're done, Maureen, can I have a moment to speak to this?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think that for purposes of capturing details now for history that we're living now, I think we need to include some information that's going to be memorialized about this. After conclusion, and I wrote this down so that I can also then just share it with Karen Reed later as secretary, so it makes less for her recording. So Karen, don't worry about
writing this down.
But after conclusion of the November 2021 board meeting, there was a discussion about the December 3rd board meeting and the luncheon that would immediately follow that meeting. And then they were scheduled to occur the same day as the Christmas open house, and that was December 3rd. And it was discussed that because it would take too long of a day, and this was after the meeting, it would take too long of a day for the board members and for Kathy, it would be better to reschedule for the following week and on a day that was available for the caterer. Kathy was gonna check with the caterer and email the board a new date. Somehow the board meeting was canceled, but the luncheon occurred on December 8th as rescheduled. But because there was no board member for December, there was no board meeting for December, the fact that the grant application was approved was not addressed in a board meeting and therefore not documented in any board meeting minutes. And though grant update was an item in our January board meeting agenda, the details of the grant approval were not included. And so this is an important piece of history for the House. Mm-hmm. It's the most extensive amount of work and the largest value grant that has ever been sought for the House. And it's necessary to properly record the details. So I'd like to take the time now to state what occurred so the details can be properly memorialized in the minutes of this meeting. First to begin, the State Historical Fund grant application for the benefit of Callahan House was submitted to History Colorado on August 1st, 2021. And that was after over a year-long process of preparing documentation and writing the application. This was a general competitive grant. They have two different types of grants. This one was a general competitive grant, which the maximum grant request is in the range of $50,001 to up to $250,000. With a required 25% cash match for a nonprofit or government owner. It would be 50 for a private owner, but 25% for us. The application deadline was noon on August 1st. The award announcement was December 1st. The application included the following projects for restoration and preservation. Restore curb-leaded beveled glass window, installation of protective glazing for all leaded and stained glass windows, exterior paint analysis, house exterior wood restoration and paint, and preservation of the decorative historic concrete driveway. The total cost for all of these projects combined was calculated to be $240,000. The 25% match, totaling $60,000, was from the funds allocated from the City of Longmont from the Capital Improvement Program in 2021 for the use for the Callahan House. The total grant request was $180,000. The grant application included 203 pages of written information and documentation. Upon my submitting that application on August 1st, I forwarded the email received from History Colorado, which confirmed receipt of the application to Kathy and Connie and Anne, who were involved in working on the application with me, along with Carolyn Darville. That communication included the entire grant application, which included all attachments and exhibits. Thereafter, I forwarded that along to all the rest of the board members in communication on August 4th, just sharing that with them and including updates for the board meeting that was scheduled to then be held August 11th, which that meeting was subsequently canceled. On December 1st, History Colorado posted on its website the list of approved applications and sent email messages to all those on the list. Kathy received the email and promptly forwarded it to the board members, Carolyn Darbell, and our city officials. The email message confirmed the email message confirmed the award of $180,000 and the project number of 2022-01-072. It also included 5 PDF attachments regarding the first steps to an executed grant award. Noteworthy is the fact that due to COVID-19 and its economic effects on funding the State Historical Fund, the grant round was highly competitive. There were 80 applications, 80, requesting a total of approximately $14.3 million. The result was 41 applications were approved for a total of approximately $7.2 million. I have a list of everyone involved in the grant writing process and all of the supporters of the grant application, and it will be important to write thank you notes to all of them as soon as City Council will allow that. So that is what I wanted to ensure is captured now for purposes of history.
Thank you, Karen. That is very vital. I'm glad that you caught us on that, because it is very important that it's recorded.
When somebody's looking back later, that's going to be great information.
Precisely.
So it could almost be a addendum or attachment, I guess, to the minutes, because it's very much of a timeline, really.
Right. I would definitely recommend that, because yes, Karen doesn't need to go through the process of retyping
putting all that in.
But it is, yes, it is a capture of the timeline of events.
Okay. And a very historically important one. So
it is. This is big. I mean, the last 3 grants that were applied for were in, let's see, 1993 for $2,300, in 1995 for $30,250, and in 1998 for $58,672. Of those 3, they total half of what we just were granted. It's significant. This is huge work and huge value. So
yes, very much so. We cannot thank you, ladies, enough for the hours that were required and thought that you put into to working on this project. It will be very much appreciated for years to come.
Definitely worthwhile work.
And
shall we have a motion to attach those to next? To the minutes that I write for this meeting?
Yes, as an addendum.
I so move.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay.
Well, it's second it.
Okay. All in favor, hands, so we have our votes. And all right. It has been put forth in a motion that this is added as an addendum to the minutes of this meeting. It's been moved and seconded and voted on. And thank you very much. So moving on to the historic brochure under old business.
The history brochure is complete, and the final revision is ready for Kathy to make sure we have it in. Kathy, remind me the program you use to upload this information.
It's Publisher.
Publisher. So yeah, it's a matter of, yes, I don't know if you've had the chance to get that into Publisher yet, but.
Not yet, but I will in the next week.
Okay. And I'm happy to help if I can in any way, so.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right. And so that's complete. That's wonderful.
Sorry, Maureen. I should make a quick statement about the timing of that. When Connie and Kathy and I met to be going through the room by room tour, that's when we took some time to further tweak the history brochure. So it's slightly different from the version that was emailed to you. I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and email it to you all right after this meeting.
Once I have it formatted, I'll send it to everybody.
Okay, even better. Thank you. At that time, you guys were working on the room by room self-guided tour as well. So,
yes, which leads us to that, which is wonderful. Yes, Kathy, Connie, and I met on January 18th to begin to work through revising, and again on Tuesday the 25th. And we are getting close to the end of working through it. Connie and I will be meeting at my house tomorrow at 10 to continue to and hopefully finish the revisions. If anyone else is interested in joining us, you're of course welcome. We'd love to have you.
I'll just add to that some of the things that we were adding to the list were details like the parquet flooring that is underneath the carpet in the large meeting room. And Kathy, bless her heart, dug out these pictures that were taken that she took when the new carpet was replaced. I think, was that 2014? 14 or 15? I forget. But anyway, she had these pictures, and so we suddenly discovered all of this parquet flooring that's hiding underneath there. Plus, mm-hmm. you can see where the wall was taken out, you know, to enlarge the room and all that. So it was just a really interesting piece of history there again to add to the discussion of the room. And so we just tried to make each one of the rooms flow the same way with the walls, the flooring, the ceilings, light fixtures, furniture, whatever it is, you know, kind of be consistent through each room. And hopefully that'll help when people are moving around and say, oh, this is how the flooring looks in this room.
Wonderful.
And once this is complete, it would be wonderful to have kind of a test run with all of you ladies individually. Mm-hmm. Using our revised tour guide and going through the rooms one at a time on your own to make sure everything is included and any question that you may have is answered on that tour. And if not, then we can then further revise and finalize the tour guide. But I think it's going to be an amazing tour guide going forward.
Thank you, ladies, as again, more work, dedication that you put into this. Any other questions by any other board members?
Oh, I do. I'm sorry. I have one quick question, and it may be for Ben because I'm not sure who we could inquire with in the city. Is there someone in, I don't know, who does kind of floor planning design? Is there someone in another department or in the recreation department who can help us with creating the drawing of the first floor plan and the second floor plan?
I don't know, but I can absolutely look into that. I will look into that.
Thank you. That is what we need.
We certainly have folks within the city that have that talent. I do not know who. Certainly not within recreation. We don't have a technical. We don't have a technical side.
That's okay, but we know people and are connected with people who do that. So that's something that we can do to help with, Ben. So thank you if you wouldn't mind.
I will look into that. Yeah, I know.
Maybe through planning or something like that, planning department.
Somebody smarter than me.
Wouldn't you now everybody has their own talent.
It's a graphic art. Humble.
Okay. On to the house manager pictures.
So Anne, Janet, Kathy, and I met on Thursday, February 3rd at 11 at the house, and we reviewed the Callahan House Manager list that's on page 73 of Scamhorn book, and identified two house managers of whom we have pictures on the wall. And so the rest of them we will need to obtain. And Anne had a wonderful idea of saying, hey, how about we look through the scrapbooks, see if we can't find some pictures of old house managers in there. So we each took some scrapbooks to take them home with us so that we could look through them individually and make good progress in our own timing. And then we will be cataloging what we find in each of the books and bringing them back to our next meeting, which will be Thursday, February 17th at 1:30 at the house. And that's where we'll share our findings and share examples of ideas for frames and methods of display, such as how and where pics can be hung, and then just continue the work toward the content regarding the house managers.
Kathy, can you shoot a reminder out to board members about that meeting, place and time, please?
Sorry, which meeting?
Thursday, February 3rd at 11 a.m. is the House Manager Photo Project next meeting.
February 3rd?
Yes, I think
17th. That's behind us.
17th, right?
I'm sorry. Yes. Thursday, February 3rd was the first meeting. Sorry.
Okay.
Thursday, February 17th will be the next meeting at 1:30.
At 1:30.
Thursday, February 17th at 1:30 at the house. Yes.
Okay, great.
All are welcome.
I'm working at it. I really want to be there. And I would be there tomorrow, except I am right at another meeting at the Callahan House at that time. So unfortunately, I won't be able to make the meeting for the other one. But all right. So we've got a meeting set up for the 17th and on to the books.
Yay. So took a inventory of the count of books. We have 101 small books, which are these little bound books like this. And then we have 8 of the large books, which are look like this. And the content is the same. One is just larger than the other. So that is where we're at with our inventory of the books. I do need to reach out to Rosalyn and ask if she's willing to grant us authority to print more. So I'll be reaching out to her soon.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I know that Kathy had previously mentioned the pricing of the books was like 11 for the small and 13 for the large. And I might suggest that we increase that amount if we're gonna go forward with selling them. And I would even suggest $20 per book. And I don't know how the rest of you feel, but if we charged $20 per book, that would bring in $2,180 if we sold them all. Not saying we're gonna haul off and sell them all quickly, but I think that the value of them is greater than what it previously was set.
I'm in agreement. When I've gone and looked at other historic homes, I purchased books for about that much. Books or maps or anything along those lines, $20 is really, most people don't look at that as a great deal. And I think they've been undervalued personally, but it's really up to the board members on what they feel. If I could get a motion or somebody or a discussion on what other thoughts, if you feel that we should increase pricing.
I think we could easily increase the pricing. Like you say, you go someplace else and look at documents or items to purchase, and $20 is just not that big, it's not a big hurdle.
Anne?
I'm wondering, what is the demand for them right now? I mean, they're at what, $13 right now? And are people, you know, asking for them? Are they reneging when you say, do they go, oh, that's too much? Or what is the response we're getting at the current?
We really haven't had them available in sight for our guests to see that they are available. So I think there's a lack of awareness that these books are available. And in part, our hope would be to include them more in our open house events so that they are visually there in the front room to see. And I would hope that that would increase interest and demand.
Before I agree that yes, we should raise the price, I'd like to try that once. Let's see how what kind of response we get first. Because if you know, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot here.
Well, are you saying you would want to try and go ahead and go forward with just selling them at 11 and 13?
Put them up. What kind of response? If people are ignoring them at $11 or whatever they're at, what will they do at 20?
Okay. It was discussed that that we needed to at previous meetings that we had needed to put it out at Art Walk or our open houses because people were unaware of it, as well as the pictures of the home, the artist pictures we had talked about putting those out as at that point. I think we should. My suggestion is that I think not only do we advertise them there and put them out, but I think we could list that we have books available on the website for people that are interested. Again, I think it's lack of awareness in people that are coming in that haven't been to the home before, just to know about them.
And, oh yeah, but that 100, they're not out there, so people don't know we have them. My point is, will they be interested in it? You know, if you have them out there now at $11, people buy some. If you up it to 20, are they just going to say, I'm sorry, that's too much? You know, that's the thing. I think we should see what kind of, put them out there and see what kind of interest we have in them first before we raise the price. Well, look at that, going fast.
Well, given the limited quantity at this time, until we have any authorization to make more, it's not unreasonable to raise the price and go ahead and see what the reaction is. I think, like Maureen and anyone else who goes to historic facilities or sites, it's very easy on anyone's mind to say, yeah, I will buy that book for $20. That's a good value. But if you may be right, Anne, and that there may be some people who will say, that's pretty steep for a book. And if we receive that kind of feedback, then perhaps for the next, we can consider that. And then for the next open house, alter or change our price point.
Are people going to get angry then if they pay 20 and they come back to the next one and it's at 11?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. I think you don't, 20 for the small ones would be out of line, I think. I think you go like to 15 and 20, but we do have 101 books, small books. That's a pretty decent inventory. I mean, they're not going to fly off the shelves, I don't think, at either price. And but if available and getting that feedback is important.
But we run the risk of if Rosalind's not willing to allow us to print
more.
Connie?
That's the one thing that I keep always coming back to is that the little book, the smaller book, falls apart within the first reading.
Ooh.
The binding. I mean, it falls apart. We all of us that use these books, we've had them, you know, ring bound. And things. So
they've all been ring bound, Connie. They're all ring bound now.
Yes. Okay. That was my biggest hesitation. Thank you. Well, that would be worth, I would say, going up to $15, you know, for the small one and 20 for the large one and just call it good like that. But I think $20 is a little bit steep for it, but that's just my opinion. And I'm one that buys books all the time. But
so here's a couple thoughts. First of all, I think $20 is probably fine for both of them. The information is what they're buying. and the same information is in both books. Mm-hmm. There is not a great deal of interest in them. I have, if anybody expresses a great interest in the history, then I speak to them about the books and about the DVD. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been the procedure as such. I really don't want to over advertise them and put them on the website unless we have the ability to create more supply.
Right.
Because these are also the books that we give to the board members in order for them to understand the history of the house. So if we can't create more of them, then I want to be at least cautious about how much we promote them if we can't create more.
Right. Good point.
And I also have the DVDs for sale. Okay. As it relates to selling the pictures of the house, that's a lot of work to get them printed and framed. And I'd really like to have that conversation at a later date, whether or not that makes sense and whether or not people have real interest, because we need to figure out based on what it costs us to print them and frame them, what a reasonable price is.
Yeah, because absolutely.
If we're not going to make money, it's just work.
Let's not go there yet.
Yeah.
The whole purpose is to make money for the home. And when people are purchasing, I know when I'm purchasing, I want money to go back into what the project is. That's why I'd be willing to spend the $20 because, that's going to help support the house.
Right.
That's my whole mindset. So again, if the pictures are not, it's not feasible and we're not having a profit from them, forget it. I agree with you. We're not just doing this for the sake to have a picture of a beautiful home and to sell that. We're doing this with a profit margin in mind. I'm kind of with Karen that I do think Karen Reed, in the sense that $20 for the large book to me seems very reasonable, and $15 for the smaller book. Again, same information, but it's a smaller rendition of it. That seems like a reasonable thing. And I, like you said, they're not flying off the shelf. So fine, we won't consider putting it on the website at this point until we have permission that we can print more. I think that's vital. In the meantime, sure, we can put the stock that we do have of 101 out in the of the large. And I don't think it's going to be a big issue in the sense if we raise the price, but I think we should go ahead and vote on that. And people will just go from there. I will need a motion and a very clear and precise amounts on what we feel we should be going with that. Anybody?
I can make a motion.
Okay.
Either way, I can make a motion that we raise the price to $15 for the smaller and $20 to the larger from this time going forward, and to make even a sign or availability out there in our foyer or whatever, but make sure that they're on display and available when we have our public events.
I second that.
Okay, now we're going to take a vote. So all in favor that we raise the prices as stated in the motion, a show of hands. Okay, so I'm not seeing any, and it's perfectly fine. If like Anne, if you didn't agree with that, we can dissent. You can certainly dissent on that and make it known. That's why we're here doing this. If you didn't agree with that, please just let us know. And I see that you raised your hand, but I'll take it. But if you don't agree, then that's perfectly fine to stand up and say, no, I think that's a bad idea. But all right, motion carries at this point, unless anybody wants to change mind. All right, moving on to new business. The recreation brochure dates and deadlines.
Okay.
sharing my screen again.
Okay.
So Karen Cruz asked to be brought up to date on the deadlines for the recreation brochure as an awareness thing. This is where we have the ability to put a limited amount of information about our special events, like our open houses and our Santa open house. These are prepared up to 6 months, prepared and printed up to 6 months in advance. So if we have something and we have the details, we do our best to get it in there and get the details 100% right. If on the other hand, we make changes to the details after the brochure has gone to print, then we disseminate that information through the website and constant contact and other means of communication. So we are working right now on the summer brochure, which covers May through August. And those deadlines are coming right up. This just gives you an idea. The fall brochure goes to print in June, which would cover our Santa open house. And then in October, actually in, I'm looking at the content dates, not the printing dates. Mm-hmm. And then the December through May brochure deadlines start in October.
Is there any way that we could have that specific page shared with the board so we can print that and add that to our binders? Because even if these dates change, it would be nice to have that information where we have an idea, a guesstimate. I hate to say that you use the word, but a guesstimate on when we're working with those timelines. I agree with Karen. It's having these dates are important for us to be able to make prudent decisions on what we're going to print. And this is one of those things that would be nice that we could print and add to our binders that we can have access to.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
It's no problem for you guys to have that, obviously. Just recognize this is a strictly internal staff working document.
I mean, that's absolutely.
This isn't anything formal, nothing set in place. This is our guidelines so that Sue Ellen doesn't lose her sanity. So,
which is exactly the point, that it's a guideline. This is not a set in stone, concrete type of information, but this gives us a better idea moving forward so we're not falling behind and adding to Sue Ellen's pulling her hair out. We like her hair where it is. So
exactly. Well said.
Well, and I'm actively inputting information for the Callahan House to this document. So this is just an awareness thing for you guys. If we plan a ice cream social or whatever, if we want to hit the deadlines for getting it in the brochure, this gives us an idea how far in advance we need to plan.
That's exactly it. Thank you so much. And we're full aware that you're doing a lot of, getting our stuff together, Kathy. I appreciate that. But again, we're not adding or piling on to you or Superman in any way, shape, or form if we have an idea of this. So is there any other comments that we need to be said about the recreation deadlines, dates and deadlines?
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes, thank you. Moving on to the restoration and preservation brochure.
So as we've decided that the restoration and preservation projects are not going to be part of the house tour, mm-hmm. and that they will be a separate brochure, I would like to ask anyone who's interested in helping with creating that to let me know, because I obviously have all of the information, and I think it's just a matter of everyone who's interested in participating also reviewing it, and together we can create what will be a beautiful example of not just the work that's been done, the work that is going to be done, and the reason why it's important. So if anyone is interested,
So do we need to set up a committee for that and a timeline?
It would be helpful so we can just keep a pulse on it and make some progress. I think ideally it would be wonderful to have this brochure done before, like our tour guide, before any open house, so that it's readily available. And I believe that our next open house would be after the point of the city council blessing the grant and all of that. So I think timing of that information is going to be acceptable.
Is all our right. next is our next open house going to be an art walk in May, or do we know yet?
There isn't an art walk scheduled in May.
Okay.
They're doing the regular art walk in September. In May, they're trying to do some sort of dinner meal on Fourth Avenue. They're working on it. So
yeah, it's vague at the moment. They're going to do that summer's downtown thing. Is it, I think, every Friday night from, I've got the dates. Give me a second.
Yeah, June. Yeah.
So can we say the kids are having an art walk in May then? I had that on my list of questions I was going to ask. So
at the moment, there is no downtown art walk scheduled in May.
Okay. That includes us.
They're doing what they call summer on the streets.
So given that we know that there's no art walk in May, is there another city event for the public, aside from the regular Fridays, or maybe even just one of the regular Fridays, that we would like to say, let's make the house available for touring on that day in lieu of art walk? Because it's nice to keep the house available to the public, open to the public for touring 2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah, I agree.
At the moment, we have two, which would be Art Walk in September and the December open house.
Yeah, but you know, we have beautiful gardens and they're going to be there. And I think that I agree with Karen that we either take on to one of the Fridays that it's going to be open, or we find out when that dinner is going to be taking place downtown, and we then kind of tie onto those curtails and open the house in addition. I like the idea of doing something in the early summer. May is a really hard month because everybody's doing lots of stuff. We do something in the early part of June where we take on to one of those Fridays and we open up.
And that's when the gardens will be better too. I mean, early May, they're really not in full bloom.
So perhaps that could be something we could include in next month's agenda as far as what city opportunities we could consider to connect an open house with.
Yeah. So we'll add that onto new business of when we're going to do an open house. And I say in June, either not necessarily the first Friday, but maybe the second Friday in June?
I would like to weigh in on the dates as we get closer. And the reason for that is we really need to concentrate on revenue events. And June could be very busy, and weddings and other Good events point. Like that need to take precedence over free events open to the public. And I also don't want to work every weekend day in June. So let's wait till next month. What I challenge you to do is look for meaningful events happening downtown that would draw a crowd, and trying to tag on to one of those, because otherwise we just don't get the traffic.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kathy. I'm looking at a Friday evening of open house. We'll taking on to, at least that's my opinion, that we would take on to one of those Fridays. And just do it once, and hopefully we would I understand that you don't want to work every weekend. I got that.
You know, from a busyness perspective, that's why May was good for us, because May is pretty quiet in terms of what's going on in the House. Mm-hmm. July is also fairly quiet.
Okay. Well, July's
good.
Okay, that's something to then consider.
We can talk about it next month.
Yeah, I'll put it on the agenda.
Thank you. Okay.
But on that note, if we could go ahead and take a step back to, can we gather anyone who is interested in preparing preservation?
Exactly what I was going to go back to. We've been all around and circled, and therefore we're back to be the restoration and preservation brochure. We need to get a set date on when we're going to be working on that. And is there any particular program in which we're going to be utilizing for that?
Let's get the text together and then worry about formatting.
Okay.
Anyone interested in helping with that?
I would like to work on it. My big thing is I have to work it in between doctor's appointments and everything. So that is where I fail, because you kind of get the appointments when you can with Kaiser. They're not exactly the most great about everything. So I'd like to work on that. When would you like to start?
It can be flexible. That's the point of getting going right now with it. It gives us plenty of time and flexibility to get it done in advance of the next open house.
Do we want to work on it next week? I mean, we've already got a meeting on the 17th, but what would be a good time?
Tell you what, I can be pretty flexible given you've got appointments you need to work around. Why don't you maybe offline after our meeting, we can connect and choose a day and time that'll work for your calendar as well.
Okay, that'd be good. Anybody else that would like to be interested in working on this? Nope. Okay. No. Okay. So Karen, you and I we're gonna get this done. All right, moving on to the scrapbook. And Connie, do you have anything to say about the scrapbook?
I do not. We were supposed to have met on February 18th and ended up with, because of the snow and all that, we did not end up meeting, but we also kind of overlapped a little bit with the history brochure that we were working on too and the tour guide. So no, I have not done a thing in between here and then and going to Texas and back and forth. So, but I was glad to hear that y'all had taken the scrapbooks home to find out about the house managers. That was good. I thought, well, good. They're useful for something. But anyway, I was gonna suggest that anytime, and I'm such a scrap keeper. I'm not necessarily a scrapbooker, but I do keep newspaper articles or anything that I see, you know, that's about the Callahan House in the newspaper or wherever you see it. Keep a copy of it, you know, shoot me a copy. We'll start a file, you know, to keep collecting things. And we were talking about, the St. Vrain Historical Society, when they have their
festivals,
the strawberry pie days, or pumpkin pie days and strawberry festival, with the antique dealers, the postcard antique dealers come in, and that's the first thing that I know that St. Vrain does is go in and look through all of their local postcards, you know, to find out what they've got. And it's a great thing because you've got these historical postcards of the Callahan House at different time periods. So they pop up. So just things like that, just keeping an eye open for things that would be good for scrapbooks.
Good to know. That's very good to know. I'm thank you for pointing that out. I had just gone to that huge sale that they had at the fairgrounds that had a lot of antique dealers and whatnot. I didn't even think to look for postcards. Yeah. I will from now on.
It's one of those things that, you know, they're very collectible, of course, but it's a lot of things that are overlooked, but it is literally the history of whatever you're looking for. So
can I say one thing on the scrapbooks? Mm-hmm. It was really interesting to go through the old ones and say some kudos to the ladies in the past who have put those together, because honestly, I have never looked through those books before. They've been sitting under that table for years. Very organized, very well done. So it's been, I took one home. I think Jan took one home. Karen took some home. I spent hours going through it. It was just, and like you say, so it has been done well in the past. And I think we can, I think we should. I don't know what last year is. I think the one I have is like the 70s through the late 80s. And then Jan has even farther out, you know, into, but I don't know what year it stopped. But I think, yeah, we really should, because I was, it was fun. It was just a lot of fun to go through it.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, it makes me want to check one out and take the time to look at them rather than just sitting underneath the table somewhere. Didn't know they were there.
One really interesting picture in there. Well, I used to work here and I didn't know they had my picture in there.
You're in the gardens.
I was
in the history books.
I went, oh my God.
No idea.
You were working with the gardens, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the gardens. So it was just like, I mean, I remember there was a newspaper article and that was 40 years ago. I did not know it was in a scrapbook here. So so it's fun. But besides that, it was fun reading the articles. It was just, it was good to go through.
Nice.
That's the value of them.
So, and I think that's the thing. Is looking at them and sitting down and review them, they really do have value, because it's a snapshot into right now and you don't get that time back. That's one of the things that's just unique about them. So again, Connie, thanks for taking this on for us to share with the scrapbooking. Okay, if there's nothing else further that we can discuss at this point, I think we move on to the past and present board members annual team.
So we have that scheduled on the calendar for May 1st at 2 p.m. I have the list from the last time that we had this event, and it's a fairly simple process of putting together an invitation to be sent, but I wanted to ask anyone if they were interested in being part of this process of preparing invitation and deciding the little details of what will be at the tea. It's a 2 p.m. Event, so it's not a heavy sit down, but just who might be interested in being part of preparing for this and planning for it.
I will help with that.
That sounds fun to me. I'd love to do that. So May's just around the corner, guys. I'm one of those, let's get on it, because I don't want it creeping up on us.
Do you want to set a date now that will work on your calendar, and Karen, that will work with you as well, so we can.
I would like to work on it on Monday if we could. I'm available Monday of this next week to do that. What time works better for you, morning or afternoon?
I can do either.
I can do either. It'll be fine. Yeah.
If we're doing it at the house, it has to be in the afternoon.
Okay. Afternoon it is, then. What time?
Let's go with 1:30.
1:30. Okay. 1:30 on Monday.
Can we make it 2:00, please?
Yes.
Certainly.
Monday is Valentine's Day, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Just checking.
That's okay. It'll be so wonderful to be with all you loves.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll just send it to everybody.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So yeah, that's me. The doctors don't want to see me on Valentine's Day.
just a note as it relates to the food. Last time Jacqueline did the food, she did a lovely job. Mm-hmm. And we can certainly have her just do it again and not worry about what it is. Let her figure it out.
I agree.
I like that.
That's a great plan.
I love it.
And she really likes doing that type of thing.
Yeah.
So. She does.
She gets really excited about it. And so
that's cool.
Good. More power to her.
Yep.
All right. So we're meeting on Valentine's Day at 2 p.m. at the house. Moving on to the historic Longmont guided walking tours.
So I reached out to Eric Meeson.
I would have to leave our sitter. Time for our sitter.
Well, thanks for your good deeds at the Art Center, Janet, and thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Janet.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a quarter after 10. Okay, yeah. So I reached out to Eric Mason, and he did say, yes, they've chosen dates for the Third Avenue tour for June.
Okay.
They have Thursday, June 2nd at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, June 9th at 10 a.m. And Tuesday, June 14th at 5:30 p.m. And so I told him we would make the house available for his tours for those times. I don't think we have anything that would conflict with those. And I asked him about any other 2022 historic tours for the rest of this year. He said that they will have fall dates, but they'll be looking to select those in the spring. So as soon as he's got those selected, then we'll receive that information as well, and then can put that on our calendar.
Okay, and because we're opening those up, do you need this is us a great opportunity for us to use those guides that we're supposed to be testing out as board members? Do you need us there to help?
No, it's a 15-minute thing. They're in and out so fast. There's no need, and the groups are small. One comment though, I would prefer that you pass those dates on to me before you commit to him, because we do have clubs on Thursday mornings on occasion, and we also on the 15th have a club coming in at 5:45 to 6 o'clock. So we'll do our best to accommodate them, provided they come in first. And but I'd appreciate it if you pass the dates before we commit.
Sure. You said you have an event on June 15th?
We have Twisted. We have club. We have a club that comes in.
No, what I'm saying is you just said you have an evening event on June 15th. This is not June 15th. It's June 14th.
Okay. I got the date wrong then.
At 5:30, June 14th.
All right. Then that's fine.
Tuesday, June 14th.
Yeah. But yes. I got the date wrong. I wrote down the 15th.
But that's
so I have June 2nd at 5:30, June 9th at 10 o'clock. And June 14th at 5:30.
Yes.
All right. I'll put
Thursday,
those on the calendar.
Thursday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
But they do need to be cleared with you.
Yes,
they do. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Okay, very exciting. I do think that it's great that, again, anything that we can help to support other people that are interested in what's going on in the community, I think it's great. Long as we're not conflicting to prior obligations, I get that. So moving on to board recruitment and interviews. We discussed and Ashley just touched over it a little bit, that we might actually be pulling from the board itself to help on the interviews for any new board members or that had been done as a process in the past. So anybody that can speak to this?
All right. I have some updates. And I apologize for my coughing today. I have this tickle in my throat that just won't quit. They have decided to involve the boards in the interview process. The mid-year recruitment for boards will open on March 14th and will close on April 22nd. So it will be open for 6 weeks. And then board interviews will, at that point, the clerk's office will vet the applicants to make sure that they qualify for the boards. And if they do, they will pass the information on to the board liaison, which means they'll pass it on to me. Board interviews are going to be conducted during the month of May. And the recommendations back to the clerk from the boards need to be back to them by the 1st of June. And then council will conduct interviews if necessary. They're a little vague on whether they're going to do it or not. They may or may not conduct interviews based on what the recommendations are. And then they will do appointments either on the 21st of June or the 28th of June. we have two different options for doing the interviews themselves. One is to do them as a full board, and the other is to do them as a board liaison and up to two members of the board. the difference is if we do them as a full board, then they have to be posted and recorded. If we do them as a partial board with two or fewer members present, then they do not have to be posted. They will still need to be recorded. And they gave me a list of the questions that they have been asking, which I can pass on to you.
So we basically take the city council, because when most of us interviewed, we interviewed with city council. So we would just kind of be taking that over.
I think that's the intent. Okay. They feel like the boards know better what type of people and what kinds of skills they're looking for, and that they are a better judge of how a person will work on the board. And I think they're also trying to cut back a little bit on the workload for council.
So are you saying then that they're proposing that they would not have any representative from the city besides yourself as the liaison?
That's at our interviews. It's unclear at this point if council's going to actually conduct interviews after our interviews or not. That was thrown around. So it's unclear what they've decided. I don't think they have decided yet.
Yeah.
Okay. What is it that the other members feel we should be doing? If we should put it down to a Kathy and two other members, or if we should put it to a full board?
I'm all for Kathy and two members.
I second that.
Seriously.
Okay.
That's sufficient. Overview.
So we create a I think it's an important enough decision that we appoint who's going to be the members that are going to be interviewing them, because they're on the board for several years and we want them to be able to contribute and do so in a productive manner. I know that we don't necessarily have a tremendous amount of community members jumping forth to be on our board, but again, it's an important decision. So it's my opinion that we have two other board members, but I think that board members that are appointed by the full board itself. I don't think it should just be on a volunteer basis. That's just, I don't know. So what we could do is we could put a motion forward that we have Kathy and two other approved board members. That's just a thought. Any other opinions?
We could also do it as a part of the board meeting.
Good.
That's just an idea. If we're going to do it as a full board, then I think that's when we should do it.
Well, it would lessen, well, first of all, the board meeting is already posted, so that would help. And the fact that then we would just be, sorry, I've got a puppy that wants to be up on my lap, that it's being recorded and it's already documented. So that would lessen that in that factor. Again, then it would have to be listed that we'd be doing a board meeting that would be longer than trying to do it under 45 minutes. We'd have to choose one of those meetings it'll just be one of those meetings that drags.
It would have to be the May board meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be our option.
Mm-hmm. What is anybody other's viewpoint?
I think having that in the main board meeting, it streamlines the process and allows all current board members the opportunity to see applicants and just even if you have two words to say, then you have the opportunity to say them.
Yeah, and questions.
Yes.
I mean, so I need somebody to put forth what we're doing, guys. Are we going to do it just as a smaller offshoot, or are we going to do it part? I'm getting the feel, and I could be wrong, that we should just include it in the May meeting, but I need to have a motion put forth that's what we're doing.
Are we going to discuss it more or for a motion?
You could
discuss it more. What's your opinion?
My opinion is the board meeting. I think everybody should have a say in this, not just a few people. And I think looking at the applicant's feeling, it's a little intimidating. As a whole board, you know, it's I think it's more friendly. I'm not that anybody is unfriendly, but you know, getting grilled by just two people, you know, it might be intimidating.
Okay.
More intimidating to be grilled by a whole group, but this also makes Kathy not have to have a whole extra meeting.
So yes.
Roll it into this, which makes sense.
Okay. So can we have a motion? Connie, what's your thoughts?
I could go either way, but I see the value in attaching it to a board meeting. I guess it would be an extra time past the board meeting. Is that what you're envisioning, Kathy, or anybody? You know,
I think in order to be respectful of the applicant's time, that it would probably have to be at the beginning of the meeting as opposed to the end, so that we could set a fixed time.
Yes.
Or we could just set it at 10 o'clock and say, you know, we're going to stop board business, do the interviews. Mm-hmm. The interviews are supposed to be a maximum of 30 minutes. They don't have to be that long.
Right.
I'm thinking more along the lines of 15 would be very appropriate. And we have to ask the same questions of everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that way we have documentation of it. So I'm game.
So I move that we include the interviewing process in the May board meeting.
Can I get a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Thanks, Anne.
All in favor? Okay, we got hands. All right, it's been moved, seconded, and approved. And we will set that for the May board meeting.
And I will put on the I'll send you the questions, and either next month or in April, we'll add it to the agenda to have a short discussion about the questions.
That would be great. And then so we can all be in agreement with what questions will be asked. All right.
The other thing I would tell you right now is the real push right now is to find people that are qualified and get them to apply.
Okay.
Any suggestions on, I know, you know, just in talking to people that I know in my circles right there, but any other suggestions on recruiting, going out and bell ringing?
Well, we're recruiting, just so everybody's on the same page, we would be recruiting for a shortened term because they would fill the term that started in January. Right. So this would be a two and a half year stint. Wow. So just so you know, that's the way they work it.
Okay. So if we know anybody skilled, wonderful, that we think would be fabulous, make a suggestion that they do apply.
And I'm happy to talk to anybody, to show them the house. A lot of times they come to me and ask a bunch of questions, and I'm perfectly happy to do that.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Moving on to G on the new business, board meeting dates and times.
So I asked this be placed on the agenda so we could talk about our dates and times of our board meetings. Okay. Usually at the beginning of a year, we would touch base on that to make sure that the date and time is acceptable for all board members. In part, it is for planning for each individual member to ensure that you've allocated the proper amount of time on a specific day regularly to volunteer your time for the benefit of the house. So what we currently are right now, obviously, is this Wednesday at 9 a.m. But and Janet leaving at 10:15 is an example of, is this a good time or not? I think that it's acceptable to allow or allocate up to 2 hours of time for the board meeting. Now, I'm not saying we're going to take that entire amount of time, but in times when we have more business to be getting done, we need to have properly placed that on our calendars so that we're not just, oh, well, I got to go now and leaving the meeting. So I think it's something that perhaps we need to table this for next month so that Janet can be included in the conversation, and we should probably include that in the beginning of the meeting so that she has the opportunity to speak. But does anyone else have any other concern about days or times?
I personally think that the days work. Maybe we consider moving it up earlier to an 8:00 meeting. I don't know. If she's going to leave by 10:00, maybe that's something possible that we can move it up to an 8:00 meeting. Because I agree, 2 hours is not too much of your time to consider for a board meeting. They tend to run over. It depends on what you're talking and discussing about. And it's really hard if we don't have all the board members present. I would like to keep it at the same time. It's very convenient in the sense that I know it's Wednesday, the second Wednesday of the month, and it works out well for me. I don't know. I don't know where the other board members are at. And maybe 8:00 I know that's a stretch for some people. Getting there at 8 is like, oh, no, Lord, I don't know if I get my coffee in time. But
coffee.
Yeah. So...
It is also tough because we rely on our support staff for the Zoom portion, mm-hmm. and also because if we have bad weather, mm-hmm. We may or may not be shoveled out for in-person meetings, and so there's some safety issues with very early.
Yeah, I would say that all of our meetings were Zoom meetings, 8:00, you know, would work, but I like the 9:00. Of course, I like to sleep late, so I mean, I shouldn't throw that in there, but... 8:00 to me is a little bit early because we depend on a lot of other things too, you know, like support. Zoom is a little, well, even for Zoom, we need a support staff. So I think changing the meeting time because one or two people have, you know, there's always going to be conflicts. I mean, when you've got 7-8 people together, it's going to be really hard to find a perfect time that works all the time. So I think we've resisted the temptation. We've had this discussion in other years, and we've resisted the temptation to change the times. And it was for that reason, because it's just, you know, unless, I mean, sometimes you could, but it just, we didn't do it before because we decided it, we can't just keep shifting the times off, you know, for different people.
I'm wondering if in this particular case, if we could just move it to 8:30, do a little compromise on that, and that would give an hour and a half if Janet still is, Janet has that commitment with her work right there. So that would not force her to rush quite as much and miss as much of the meeting right there. I also understood that the Zoom meetings were supposed to be only an hour long. So that's my other question about that. But I would just suggest that we maybe compromise and move it to 8:30 if that's doable.
Let's table the discussion for next month and have the discussion when Janet's present and go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all for 8:30. I think it's a good idea, and we can go ahead and table it and move it on to what we can discuss early in the agenda of next week, so she can be part of it. Thank you for bringing it up, Karen. It is an important thing that we need to keep on top of. So we'll go from there. Is there any other business that we need to be discussing? Okay. I'm sorry, Ben.
Yeah, I was just going to update you guys on a couple things, just to give you a heads up of things that I know or don't know. The masking, which, if my own personal opinions bleed through, my apologies, I try not to, but masking, we have no word of masking discontinuing. However, the vaccine verified program that we have two pieces of for the clubs at Callahan House and the weight room here, I do have a request in now for a week to go ahead and take masks off again in those situations. And that has gone to the city manager's level. And so I'm hoping for a response. I believe he wants to talk to some other city administrators. So that's where that one sits. So we hope that will adjust pretty quickly. We have had no issues with it here when it was running. We chose to put masks on based on Boulder County's recommendation, not requirement, and the situation as it was a month ago. So that's where that one sits. Board meetings, I haven't heard anything. We'll certainly just have to take our cue from City Council. So hopefully we'll see some adjustment. I hear rumors of Boulder County making adjustments, but keep breathing, don't hold your breath.
I was going to say, rumors are facts.
Hold your breath under a mask.
We were the first, and we will likely be the last. So true. Again, I don't know if you heard my opinion there, but
no.
I concur. I'm with you.
One thing I wanted to just my things going on, my opinion of things. Kathy is going to be asked to do an awful lot this year with the grant money. These are large projects. I will be helping. I have some experience with project management. So I will be helping. Sue Ellen will be helping. We're going to start meeting, I think next week, Kathy, we have a meeting scheduled, right?
Yes.
So we're going to start mapping out our plan. This will be a year. And it's wonderful. I'm super excited. I love projects. I love them. I think they're great. And but they do take time. They take a lot of effort. They tend to drag on. They tend to postpone things. So I just want everybody to really recognize as we go forward this year, the amount of crunch this is going to cause. So there may be some times we have to make some adjustments we don't want to make, but just want to give everybody that heads up. So we are working on it because we are excited. It's an amazing opportunity. I said it before, I'll say it again. It's an amazing opportunity. Super excited to get these things done. I'm building a cover over the playground this year, I hope. And so there's a lot that's going to happen. And we're just excited to get those things done. But like I said, it does mean that some other things, you know, I look at, and I'll give you an example. I look at the scrapbook thing, and that's awesome. My wife's a scrapbooker. It's amazing what she does. But that, you know, if we're looking at doing a new scrapbook, I would say let's wait till next year. Because that to me is a project that probably needs a fair amount of time and effort. And, you know, and it's not time sensitive. That's another thing.
Yeah.
So
right.
There you go. I will leave it at that. Does anybody have any questions for me concerning masking or anything like that? I hope we're back together soon because I don't like doing meetings. So.
I agree. But I also think it's great that with us doing things that we document all the things, the projects that we're working on. So I understand a need and the ability to be flexible, but I think we're all very excited. That we have the funds to do this. Yeah, so
that's all I have.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. So moving on to future agenda items, the sign for the flower bed, April, fundraising, April, future house restoration and preservation projects, also listed as future agenda items. We stated other future agenda items that we've tabled, and is there any other things that listed in your that I didn't list that we believe should be added to the agenda for next meeting?
Not for next meeting, but can I speak briefly about the future house restoration preservation project?
Absolutely.
Fundraising. I do think, on the note of what Ben said, and Kathy's well aware of it too, the amount of work that is going to be done at the house, that's the focus. However, as the board, we can continue to gather information for future needs. As Kathy has mentioned to us, hey, you know, the meeting room is looking a bit worn, and I think that might be the next project. That's something that we as a board can begin to look at, and it won't require much action, but it's something that we have a responsibility to begin to pay attention for future. And I think that hand in hand, it goes with fundraising. I think we can take fundraising kind of out of April and put future house restoration preservation projects in April. And the discussion will be more of a, well, what's coming up next with the house? Okay, so we know about the meeting room. All right. Is there any other sensitive restoration or preservation project that we need to pay attention to? In two parts, one for urgency and two for purposes of submitting for the CIP funding. I don't know, and perhaps Kathy or Ben, you can share with us what the deadline is to submit the request for funding from the CIP. Because I think that is the beauty of our cash match came from the funds we requested in the CIP. And so for future planning for board members in grant application consideration, mm-hmm. We need to be kind of aware of, all right, when do we have to submit for CIP funding? Yeah. And then it goes hand in hand with, how are we going to figure out how much we're going to submit for? And it will be based on what we're identifying as those future projects.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. Again, knowing those dates and deadlines are key to us getting funding. And that's a crucial thing to discuss. So definitely that is high on the discussion points. I mean, we have a lot to discuss next.
But Ben, can you answer the question about the timing of the deadline?
Yeah, so that the general timing for CIP projects is the window opens at the end of March, and everything needs to be in around the end of April. I can't give you the exact dates right now, but that's the timeline. So next month, discussing those things would be completely appropriate.
Okay, thank you. So perhaps we put the future house restoration and preservations project on next month's new business, just so that we can begin to get a pulse on what's on our radar. What do we need to be paying attention to?
Absolutely. And that being said, Kathy's got a really good pulse on what needs to be worked on, and having those ideas put forth on where we need to start and what is it. You know, she sees it every day. We're not in there every day. And again, for the board members that do have ideas on what they see, because sometimes an outside view sees things that the person's not there every day sees. So I think we're working together, coming up with a really good list to move forward. Thank you, Karen. And thank you for the awareness. Awareness is key. Having those dates on when we need to have that in is crucial.
It's important, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
All right. Seeing no further agenda items, I think we can go ahead and adjourn. And I hear you, Connie, that we're going to try to keep the meetings down to an hour, but we've just got so much on our plate. I just think it's important that we discuss these things, and that we're not having additional board meetings. We might just have to keep it down to that 2-hour period. And again, I would love to keep it under 45 minutes to an hour if we can, but it doesn't always work that way. So can I have a motion for adjournment? Or Karen, did you have something else further to say?
Just one last note on that is in prior years, we did allocate about 2 hours for our board meetings. And so it's warranted.
Okay.
But on that note, that's it. So I move that we adjourn. It's now 10:43.
Okay. And second to adjourn?
Second.
Karen Reed seconded it. All right. And I assume we're all in favor. So there we go. Hands. All right. We are adjourned. I look forward to seeing all of you, hopefully in person next meeting, but maybe not. We'll see how this all works and plays. In the meantime, thank you, ladies, for all your work. And I will see you on Monday.